Well, good morning, church. I'm so glad to be able to have this time with you as we open God's Word together and see what all that He has for us as we continue our series through the book of Psalms. So my girls like this new show that's on Netflix. It's called Nailed It. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it, but basically it's sort of like a contestant show or a game show where you have people come in onto the show and they try to bake a cake. The catch is that there is a professional who's baked a perfect, like immaculate, very just really cool cake. Now, the game is that they have to then replicate that. They have to be able to reproduce the cake and make it look like that. So you can imagine that when you get people on there that aren't the professionals, that you get some really funny looking cakes. I got a few pictures for you that you can check out. The first one here is a picture of a really pretty picture of a doll, and then you have this creepy doll that somebody made beside it. Then you got another one here of, I think that's supposed to be a T-Rex. On the left, you can see the one the professional did, and then you can see whatever that one is. And then you have our president, President Trump. This one is just amazing. And then you got some others that, like, there's one that somebody did a soccer ball. And now, listen, I'm not saying I could do better than these people. I just think they look funny. And so then I love this one, Buzz Lightyear. That one's awesome. What about this next one is Elsa. That's a good one. And then I think one of my favorites is this one of Elsa. And now get this. If you look closely, you can see that that one's actually from a bakery. So whoever created that one, you don't want your birthday cake from that place. Here's my point in this. You might feel like the people that come on the show might feel like they can make a cake like the professionals. That doesn't mean that they can. It doesn't actually mean that that's the truth. What we're going to be studying this morning from the book of Psalms is that there's a lot of times that our feelings are deceptive. And what I mean by that is there's times in our life when there's things that we feel in our heart, but just because it's something that we're feeling in that moment doesn't necessarily mean that that's the truth. A lot of times, God can feel distant. Like, God can feel like He's just not there, He's not present, He's not with us. Like, where are You, Lord? But just because we feel like that's the case doesn't mean that that is the truth. We talk about distance. We've been doing this social distancing thing for about 2 months now. And if you're anybody like me, I'm done. I'm done with the social distancing thing. I know it's necessary. I understand that. And so we're rolling with it. But I'm just telling you, I'm done with it. And so distance is hard. Just to be honest, it's hard when you really like being around people, being around family. Being distant is not easy. And we've all experienced it in different ways. Some of you have maybe experienced a long distance relationship with someone. And so you've experienced that distance for maybe a prolonged period of time. Maybe you've had someone who's been shipped or deployed overseas, and you've experienced the distance that comes as a result of that. Or maybe it's an out-of-town work assignment or a friend who's moved away. Or in different ways, we've experienced distance. But I want to tell you this morning that there is a distance that is immensely greater than any distance that we could experience relationally here, and that is distance between us and God. And so this morning, that's what we're going to look at in the book of Psalms, is this idea of distance from God, but more what we're going to be focusing more on is the nearness of God. So we're continuing our series in the book of Psalms, and we're calling this Psalms for Life. Or Songs for Life. And that is because in the book of Psalms, we get some incredible just descriptions of different facets of life. And I love that God has given us the book of Psalms, because we get to see it's just real and it's raw, and we get to see so many different things happening. In fact, there's Psalms that are written with just out of deep sorrow and grief. And then there's Psalms that are written out of just immense joy. And there's just so many different things, but it meets us right where we are. And so it doesn't sugarcoat the feelings that you and I encounter and feel on a daily basis. but it presents those things. But then what I love about it is that we get to balance our feelings with the truth of God's Word. And so that's what we're going to do. We're not going to go through the entire book of Psalms. That would take us a while. But what we are going to do as a church is read through the entire book together. So hopefully either yesterday or tomorrow, you will receive in the mail a reading guide from Hope Valley. And it's a way for us to begin to read through the book of Psalms together. So we're going to take a psalm. It'll be about 5 psalms per day. And we're going to read through the entire book together. So maybe if you've never done that, this is an exciting chance to do that together as a church. But I hope you'll join us together. And then we'll talk about it maybe in our Hope communities a little bit, also online. But we'll be reading together. About 5 psalms a day is all it takes to get through the entire book in about 31 days. So I hope you'll join us on that journey as we do that together. But as we look at the book of Psalms, we won't be going through the entire book, but we will look at the different types of psalms that are here in this book. And we're going to categorize them in 5 basic categories, and that is that there are psalms of lament. Psalms of lament are psalms that express just deep sorrow over the difficulties of life, over disappointment, over suffering, over injustice. And in fact, that's what we're going to look at this morning, a psalm of lament, just of a cry to God in the deepest trials of life. In fact, it's interesting that more than 1/3 of the psalms are laments, just prayers of honesty, pouring out your heart before God. There's psalms of praise and thanksgiving, praise to God for who He is and what He's done and His goodness and His faithfulness. There's psalms of repentance, cries that of confession to God and brokenness over sin. Then there's also psalms of wisdom, which are just general or basic instructions on how we can live our lives in a way that honors God and live rightly before Him. And finally, there's kingship psalms. There are songs and meditations on God's sovereign rule over all things, His rule presently and His rule to come in the future. And so those are some of the just 5 categories of psalms. And we're going to touch on each one of those as we go through this series. And I'm just excited about the chance that we have together. But today, we're focusing on a psalm of lament, on just an honest conversation with God, pouring out your heart before the Lord. And so we're going to be in Psalm 13 this morning. So what I want to encourage you to do, all the times that we're doing these virtual gatherings, is to get your Bible. If you actually open your Bible with us, it'll help you stay engaged, I think, a little bit more. If you don't have one, that's fine. You can follow along on the screen. It'll be there for you. But I hope that you'll grab your copy of God's Word as we walk through it together. Maybe jot notes. Maybe make notes of things that jump out to you or things that God reveals to you as we read through His Word. So we're going to begin reading Psalms chapter 13. We're going to read the first 4 here to get started. This is a psalm of David, and David says and cries out to God, and he says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, and lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." Have you ever felt that before? Have you ever felt some of the things that David's expressing here? Now, we don't know exactly what's happening in this psalm, historically speaking. We don't know exactly what was going on in David's life during this time. It could have been that Saul was chasing after him, seeking to kill him. There's so many different things that he faced in his life, but what we know for sure is that he's walking through a deep and dark moment of his life. And it's in the depths of that moment that he cries out to God in song, just crying out, "God, where are you? Where are you? I don't feel you in this moment." And if some of these words are just just show us the immense trial that he's walking through. Will you forget me forever? He feels forgotten. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt just forgotten by God? How long will you hide your face from me? He's expressing this feeling of abandonment. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on in this moment. And this sorrow in my heart all the day. He's expressing this moment of probably some kind of depression that he's feeling. And how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? He's just completely and totally defeated. Have you ever felt that? There's Psalms just like this one throughout Scripture. You see this same idea, the same longing of David in Psalm 22, verse 11. He says, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there's no one to help us." Crying out to the Lord for him to be present, to be near, this desire for the nearness of God. Psalm 69, 17, 18 says, "Hide not your face from your servant, for I'm in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul and redeem me. Ransom me because of my enemies." I don't know about you, but I've felt that way before. I've prayed on many occasions, "God, where are you? I don't feel you in this moment. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why all this is happening. And how long is this? How much longer are we going to have to walk through this trial?" And I'm pretty certain that you felt the same way. I'm pretty certain that all of us at some point in our life have felt just these moments of sorrow and maybe feelings of abandonment or being forgotten. But what I want to look at this morning is that we might have felt that way, and maybe even now you're in it and you're feeling that right now. But just because you're feeling that way doesn't always mean that those things are true. And so what we need then is, in those moments of deep sorrow and deep confusion and deep worry or whatever those things may be, we need some truths to anchor us. We need some truths that we can cling to. So I want to look at one fundamental truth that we need to be able to grasp, and that's going to be found in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, "Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Listen to what he's saying. He's talking about how at once you were separated, you were alienated, you were separated from the presence of God. But now, in Christ, you have been fundamentally changed. And so now you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so what that means is that the truth to anchor us right now is that positionally we are with Christ forever and ever and ever, and there is nothing that can change that. So relationally, positionally, we are with Him and we will always be with Him. And there is nothing that can change that. So that's the truth that we need to cling to, but still, there are times in our life when we might feel like God is distant. We might feel like he's far away. I heard this week of an artist that I'd never heard of before. And when I saw some of his artwork, I was blown away by what I saw. So there's a man named Patrick Hughes. He's a contemporary artist, and he has created what he calls reverspective art, or reverse perspective art. I want to show you a picture of one of the pictures that he has painted. In his paintings, he creates this dynamic depth in that you look far away, and back into the distance, you can see these what seems so far away from our perspective. But what's amazing is that in his creations, the things that seem the furthest away in his paintings are in reality actually the closest to you. He calls it reverse perspective. And so he actually has painted these 3D objects. So look at this next picture, in which when he paints these and creates them, the things that look the furthest away are actually really the closest to you. He's created a perspective for us to see that it plays a trick on us, and we think we're looking at something that's far away. It seems distant, it seems far away, but in reality, it's right there in front of us. So think about that in relationship to God. We might, in some moments, feel like He's far away. We might feel like He's distant, like He's in the background somewhere, like you're too far away from me, but in reality, He's right there with us all the time. In fact, there's nowhere that we can go, and so that we're away from His presence. I love the truth that we see in Hebrews 13:5. It says that He has told us, or He has said, that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. There's something that we miss, I think, a lot of times in the English. So in English, double negatives is really bad grammar. But in the Greek language, negatives were used for emphasis. And so in this one verse, there's actually five negatives. And so it really literally says, I will never, no way, never leave you. Neither will I never, no way, no how, forsake you. You see the emphasis that He's given us that? There is no situation, there is no circumstance, there is no way ever, ever, ever that God would ever leave you or He would ever forsake you. And so we, as His children, are never distant from Him. In other words, He is never going to remove Himself from us now that we have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. And so because of that truth, then everything, every feeling that we have has to get filtered through that truth. Everything that we feel and every emotion, we have to filter them through the truth that says, when Jesus says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. So I might feel distant, but I really never am. So then I want to ask the question then, why does God feel at different times in your life and in mine, why does He feel distant? Why are there moments when it just feels like, God, where are you? I don't feel you like I've felt you before. There's times in my life when I've felt so close and so intimate with Him. And then there's other times when I feel like I'm just like it's just not there. Have you felt that way before? So why do we feel distant from Him? And I think a lot of times it has to do with pursuit. During the times that God feels most distant from us, it's not because His pursuit of us has changed, but it's because our pursuit of Him. Here's what I mean by that. I'm not saying exhaustively that every single time this is the case, but a lot of times when we feel distant, I think it's because of one or two things. And there's probably many more, and there's reasons that God has that I don't fully know. But in my own life, I've experienced two things. One, it's because of sin. Or two, because it's because of comfort. And I'll explain what I mean by both of those. When we feel distant from God, I think it's because we're pursuing something other than Him. Maybe it's because we're pursuing sin. There's something that has gotten our eyes off of Him. And oftentimes, it can be something that's going on in our life that's contrary to the character, the holiness, the standard of God. Isaiah 59:1 says this, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or His ear dull that it cannot hear. But your sins have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. I want you to pay attention. It says that your sins have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you. So notice, he says here that God hasn't hidden His face from us, but our sins have hidden His face from us. So it's crazy then for us to live our life however we want, in rebellion against God, and then wonder where He went. And wonder, God, why don't I feel Your presence? Why can't I feel You here with me in this moment? Why don't You feel near to me? It's crazy for us to pray that and cry that when we've been living a life that's completely contrary to His nature and what He has called for us. You know, I think oftentimes we want the feeling of the presence of God with the freedom to live however we choose. But you don't get both. We can't live however we want and then at the same time experience the joy and the presence of God in our life. It could be, number two, it could be that maybe it's not sin. Maybe you'd say, no, there's not any like unrepentant sin in my life, but I still don't feel like this, you know, the presence of God. It could be that maybe we're not pursuing a specific sin. Maybe we've just pursued what's comfortable, and that we've just content with how things are, and we've gotten lazy in our relationship with Him. You know, I think there's times in my life I know that that I've pursued Him just recklessly, passionately, and then there's other times when I don't. When I've just gotten comfortable with my relationship with Him, and things are just kind of coasting or cruising, and things are going okay in my life, in my marriage, in my family, and things are just all right. And I think sometimes in those moments we stop pressing into Him, we stop pursuing Him with the same passion that we once did. Now, I've shared this quote with you before, but I want to share it again. Puritan writer Samuel Ward said it this way. He said, "Christ will not be found by those who seek Him lazily or coldly and desire all the world besides. He that desires anything above Him, equally with Him or without Him, shall never obtain Him. He will be won only when you seek Him with all your soul and strength, or He will not be won at all. Embrace Him with both of your arms of love. All of your rivers of desire together should not form a current so strong as your love for Him. He suffered all for you, and He should be your all in all without any rival for affection." I think there's times in our life when we pursue God half-heartedly. But I love what he says here, that the moments in our life when we just lazily or coldly pursue after God are not the moments that we're going to find Him. And it's not because He has gone somewhere else. It's not because that His pursuit of us has changed in any way. It's always because of our pursuit of Him. You know, I think it's important for all of us to have mentors in our life, people that just when you get around them, they make you want to be better. They make you want to follow Jesus more and more passionately. I think it's important that all of us can identify somebody who is just so passionate about following Jesus that it's contagious. You know the kind of person that I'm talking about? For me, it's always been my dad, and I'll tell you why. I don't know that I've ever known anyone who pursues harder after God than him. And so I've been able to watch his life, and yet certainly he's not perfect by any means. But I've never seen someone chase so hard after God like he does. And so when I see that, I want to be like that. And it spurs me on and it encourages me. And I would encourage you to find somebody like that you could look at and follow after. And just like the Apostle Paul said, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ, he said to the Corinthians. In that same way, find someone that you could say, like that person, watching their life, it encourages me and it spurs me on. And get around people like that so that it will stir us and pursue us in our pursuit of the Lord. So maybe for you, maybe it is some specific sin that you know right now that you need to forsake and repent of, confess before God, and move away from. And when that happens, it's amazing how in those times of repentance that refreshing from the presence of God comes. Maybe it is. Maybe it's just you just haven't been pursuing Him like you once have. And so it's time to passionately and wholeheartedly pursue after Him. Or maybe it's something completely different than that. And so in those moments, and I don't understand fully why God allows those moments in our life, but maybe it is just so that you will pursue Him that much harder. That we will seek after Him with all of our heart. I love what David does, though. So David writes these first four, we've already looked at them. This, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long? There's actually four here in this one short passage. How long, O Lord? So he's expressing his feeling. He's expressing honestly and openly how he feels before God. But they're just that, they're feelings. Now, in my Bible, I've drawn an arrow pointing up from the first four verses and wrote feelings there. These are just feelings. He's just expressing how he feels. But then I've written in verses 5 and 6 another line that says truth. Feelings versus truth. Look what David says. He says, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. And I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." And so here's what he's saying in first four verses. This is how I feel before God. I feel like you're gone. Where are you, O Lord? What's going on in my life? But in the midst of the silence, look at what he says. "This is what I know is true. You are a God of overwhelming, never-ending love who passionately pursues me. You are a God who saves, a God of our salvation. You are a God who is forever faithful." And so in the midst of the silence of God, he says, "I will cling to these truths. I will trust and I will sing all the louder and all the more. I will sing of these truths that I've known and experienced to be true." And so I'll say the same thing for you and me. In those moments, in the moments of silence, maybe when God feels distant, in the midst of those feelings, we have to cling to what we know is true. And that's what David does in the depths of the deepest pit, in the deepest sorrow. He clings to what he knows is true. And what is that truth? Hear me, this is the truth, is that God is near. He is near in the greatest joys of your life and mine, but he's also near in the deepest sorrows. He is near in the uncertain times. He is near in the midst of your hurt and your heartache. He is near in the midst of your greatest disappointment. God has not gone anywhere. He is near. I love what Psalm 34 says. 17 and 18 says, he says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and he delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and he saves the crushed in spirit." So I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what period of life you're in. Maybe you are experiencing right now the joy of the Lord and the presence of God like you never have before. And I pray that continues for days and for weeks and for years. But the reality is there's going to be moments when he feels distant, when we feel disconnected, when we feel that sense of separation. But in those moments, you have to cling to what you know is true. We have to cling to what God has revealed to us in his Word. Maybe, though, you can't honestly say that you've ever experienced the nearness of God, that you've never experienced his presence. Maybe there's never been a time in your life when you've cried out to the Lord and he has revealed his love and his presence to you. Maybe so today for the first time needs to be that prayer for you, that you are crying out to the Lord, asking him to be near, crying out to him with everything that's in your soul. God, I need you. God, I need you. Every hour, I need you. We're going to sing in just a minute, and we're going to close out our time with that prayer. And it's going to be a prayer that all of us can pray at any moment of any season of life. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, Lord, we need you. We confess that right here and right now, that we can't live without your presence with us. And so every moment, every day, we need you. We need you to be near us. And we can celebrate and we can sing because the truth is that you are. Is that since because of what you've done for us, that you have brought us near, never to ever leave us or ever forsake us. And so, Lord, help us rest in that truth. Help us rest in that when we don't feel it. Lord, would you overcome our feelings with your truth? And so, Lord, right now, I don't know what someone may be walking through, what hurts they may be facing in this moment, what difficulties or what trials await us tomorrow or the next day. But we know what is true. We know that you are good. We know that you are faithful. And so we stand on those truths. Lord, we stand on those. Don't let us be shaken. Never let us falter. Never let us waver. But let us stand firmly on those truths this morning. And Jesus, it's in your precious and mighty name that we pray. Amen.